Welcome to this podcast from the Commonwealth Club of California, a nonprofit, nonpartisan forum open to the public. I'm Gloria Duffy, President and CEO of the club. To learn more about events or membership, join us online at commonwealthclub.org.
Welcome to this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California. I'm George Hammond, the chair of the Humanities Forum, which organized today's event. We also welcome our listening audience, both online and on the radio, and we invite everyone to visit us at www.commonwealthclub.org. It is my pleasure today to introduce our speaker, Swami Beyondananda. Anyone of my generation understands the name perfectly. There's no more that needs to be said. Swami.
Okay, very good. Thank you for that introduction. Now, I'm just curious, who has seen the Swami before? Okay, you're seeing him again. Okay, now who has seen the Swami before but don't remember? That is called Vuja Day. Vuja Day is when something actually has happened, only you forgot. Okay. Now the question I know many people are asking, is Swami Beyondananda a real Swami? Well, I will have you know that this morning when I got up, I pinched myself, and sure enough, I am real. Now, it's great to be here, and you know what? We have no choice, because no matter where we are, we're always here, right? And it's always now. So who would like to be in the now more? Oh, too late, already then. You want to be in the now, you have to be quick. But I predict that living in the now will be the wave of the future. And time itself will become a thing of the past. Now, this is already happening. I don't know if you're aware of this, but the Nostalgia Channel is doing reruns of the Today Show. They're calling it Yesterday. So in case you missed today's Today Show today, you can catch today's Today tomorrow on Yesterday. Now, I'm very honored to be at the Commonwealth Club. What a great idea, Commonwealth. Isn't that a wonderful idea? And perhaps many of you remember back when the Commons was more wealthy, don't you? Yes? I'm very nostalgic for the good old days. Remember the good old days when people robbed banks? Remember that? You could say, well, how can you make a joke about the financial system? Well, there's something funny going on. That's why. And you can tell by the names that the banks give themselves, right? Chase. Wachovia. You know, I have to tell you something. Forget about white-collar crime. That's a thing of the past. We now have had a gold-collar crime wave. And those gold-collar criminals figured out how to collar the gold without getting collared themselves. And they have learned to use their energy, what the Chinese call qi, to gain unfair advantage. This is called cheating. Now, I have to say something. The U.S. dollar is now worth slightly less than a dollar in monopoly money. But I have great news. I always like to look on the bright side. I have great news. We have a $1.9 trillion national debt. When the dollar hits zero, we can pay it off and not even feel it. And you know, it's all because of what they call the trickle-down theory, right? The wealth is up here, and some of it trickles down to the bottom, which is why they call the people at the bottom, they call them peons, right? Pennies from heaven? Maybe not, you know. Okay. Now, of course, it's very easy to point a finger. Yes, it's somebody else's fault, but there's always three fingers pointing in this direction when you're pointing in that direction. And so we have to take responsibility for our economic system because we have bought into the idea that there's not enough and we have to be afraid. This is called scarcity. When the real nature of nature is abundance, that is where we get up off of our assets, move our buns, and dance together in rhythm and flow, And that is what a real economy is like. It's all about how we move energy. And energy really is no more than love. And the good news is love is more powerful than fear. Otherwise, we'd be singing, "All You Need Is Fear." She fears you, yeah. I say, we're not singing that. That's good. That's good that we're not. Now, these are very interesting times. Yes, it has been predicted that a great shift would be taking place. And many people are asking, why is this shift happening to me? Well, because shift happens, right? And it's already happening, yes? And because of that, people are consulting the great mystics on the planet. Now, there's two kinds of mystics in the world. There are the optimistics and the pessimistics. Now, the pessimistics are very much in touch with reality. But the optimistics are happier and live longer. The pessimistics are telling us, the sky is falling. The optimistics say, no, it only looks that way because we are ascending. And during these, I don't know how many people have a spiritual practice. I know that we turned off our cell phones, but, you know, the angels have actually, are really with us. I can feel the angels are with us these days. We need a lot of help. And they've upgraded their whole system. Now it's every time a cell phone rings, an angel gets his wings. Hopefully no angel will get his wings in here tonight. And you know, even the Fox Network, they're a little edgy. They're coming out with a new angel show. It's called Inappropriately Touched by an Angel. Now, I have my spirit guide and power animal with me at all times. Bullwinkle. And I'll tell you why. Because no matter what your problem is, if you channel Bullwinkle to tell people your problems, it sounds funnier. So, let's say you lost your job and you have no money. Channel Bullwinkle. They just lost my job and they have no money. See, that's a little funnier, isn't it? So perhaps you can see I'm wearing my Moosefix tonight. No, really. This is, I play no favorites. I have a squirrel of David at home, so. No, actually, I have to tell you this. I had a dream, and Jesus came to me in a dream, and he asked me to wear this. I said, what does it mean? He says, it means, for Christ's sake, lighten up. Because the planet is in serious condition, largely due to our conditioning to be serious. But the good news is, we have the power of laughter. Now, I am what they call a fundamentalist with the accent on the fun. Okay, now, there are those who believe that heaven is above us. Well, the fundamentalists believe that heaven is where we make it. So why don't we go for heaven on earth just for the hell of it? Because we are not here to earn God's love, we are here to spend it. We call this supply-side spirituality. Secret to happiness, be more supplying and less demanding. That is how we balance things out. Now, as a fundamentalist, I believe that life is a joke. But God is laughing with us and not at us. The Creator is watching the Comedy Channel. We're what's on. Good, I'm glad you've noticed. That's good, that's good. Yes, and we are given free choice in life. We get to decide whether or not we laugh. So, if you want to be miserable, go right ahead, whatever makes you happy. But I believe that underneath all of the stress and distress and sadness in life, there is a deep well of joy. And every time we let laughter bubble up out of that deep well, we experience deep wellness. But sometimes we forget to laugh, right? Has anybody ever gone a day without laughing? Irregular hilarity. You need a good laughsative, yes. Okay. Has anyone ever gone a week without laughing? Oh my God, you may be suffering from humeroids. Humeroids is an enlargement of the onus, where you feel so much responsibility that the only thing you're ever able to pass is heavy judgments. No. Now, we want to lighten up, yes? And so, You know, you've probably heard that laughter is healing. We've heard that so many times. And maybe you know the story about the writer Norman Cousins. Back in the 70s, he was diagnosed with a life-threatening illness. He checked into a hotel room with Marx Brothers movies and candid camera reruns, and he got well. And when he cured himself, the medical establishment decided that they are going to study the healing power of laughter. Which is kind of like, well, it works in practice, but does it work in theory? And sure enough, they discovered that when we laugh, our body produces these hormones called endorphins, our natural painkillers. Laughing improves immune function. Laughter lowers the blood pressure. Because when we laugh, it causes our blood vessels to dilate better than having them die early. That's an easy choice. I want mine to dilate. I don't know about you. Oh, and then I also read something very interesting. Laughing burns calories. Yes, yeah, so I'm starting a new program called Laugh Your Ass Off. Lose weightiness now. That's it. Now, one of the questions that people ask me all the time, Swami, will there ever be peace on earth? And I've got great news. There will indeed be peace on earth. I certainly hope we humans are around to enjoy it, though. Yes. I mean, it's a race against time. Are we going to achieve critical mass before we get to critical massacre? And so, as I can tell, that this is a pretty wise and evolved group, and you recognize that in many ways the outer world is a reflection of our inner psyche. And so if you want to create peace out there, we need to take responsibility for creating peace in here and to transmute some of the negative energies that we have. So I have developed a technique. I call it tantrum yoga. Use your anger to heat your home in the wintertime. Tantrum yoga. That is where you hold your breath until God gives you what you want. No, that is how Krishna turned blue. Want to be a blue Krishna without you? Uh-oh, it's the jacket. I'm serious, I got this jacket at an Elvis convention in Las Vegas. And he comes out every time I put it on. Now, you know, of course, there is an Elvis religion. You know that, right? Presbyterianism. No, it's one of those new light religions, same satisfying flavor, one-third the commandments. Because Elvis asks only three things of us. Love me tender, please surrender, return to sender. That's my kind of religion, right? I became an Elvis's witness. No. Every Saturday night we go door-to-door proselytizing, you know. No, we'd ring the doorbell. We'd say, are you lonesome tonight? And, you know, people would go right to Graceland just from that. It was a very... But, you know, in terms of peace, yes, developing and cultivating inner peace is so important. Because, again, each of us brings a little piece of the peace. You have a little piece here, a little piece there, and at some point we have one big piece everywhere. But to be peaceful, we have to actually change our attitude from the inside out. Now, that's a bit of a challenge. It's hard to be positive, and yet, well, I've got a new program called Just Say No to Negativity. Positively no negativity. And it's very important when you have children, when you have young people, very important to give them only positive words of encouragement. Now, sometimes this can be challenging. You come downstairs, there's your kids splayed out on the couch with video games. Remember, only positive words of encouragement. What's right with you, you useful good for something? Now wipe that smile onto your face, you see? That works very well. Now the other thing, of course, is that, and this is controversial. People, you may not agree with me, but if you want to be happy and peaceful, you have to learn to bless everything. Bless everything. It's such a challenge. A driver cuts you off. You have to learn to bless that driver. Bless you. Bless you too. Go bless yourself. Doesn't that feel better, right? It's all a blessing. I know somebody said, that's a bless for me. Well, it's a bless for all of us, yeah. Now, you want to be peaceful, you have to let go of these war metaphors that we've been using for a long, long time. Yes? You know, that. Remember the war on poverty? Remember that? Well, it's over. The poor people surrendered. The war on drugs? I have a better idea. Improve reality instead. It's cheaper. You know? So these are very challenging times that we are living in, but they're also evolutionary times. Yes? Now, people ask me, Swami, are you a creationist or an evolutionist? I am both. I believe we human beings were created to evolve. Otherwise, Jesus would have said, now don't do a thing till I get back. So we need to evolve, I would say, from children of God to adults of God. We need to grow up and grow into our true, what we call, humanifest destiny. Yes? And the way that we grow into something different is we use our imagination to tell a new story. Now, I know this, I have to be blunt here. How blunt can I be? Blunt? Okay. There's only one TV news network telling the truth about what they're broadcasting.
Fox.
No. Listen, I'll tell you something about Fox. If you're into numerology, Fox is 666. That tells you all you need to know about Fox. But the one TV network that is telling the truth about what actually most mainstream news is broadcasting, CBS. You want a CBS? We got plenty of it. You can... Yes, some of these are time released. That's okay. You can laugh tomorrow for no reason. It's fine with me. So I say, if you don't like the current programming, turn off your TV and television instead. That's where I television to you, you television to me. Now, this is very powerful. My guru, Hari Kaun Baba, the Garmin Center saint, yes? No, he had a black belt and borscht belt, this guy. He was pretty... But he said that life is like a good deli. Even if something isn't on the menu, if enough people order it, they have to make it. So when we tell our vision, we put it into the realm of possibility and more people pick up on it, and it's something that could happen. So I will tell my vision, okay? Imagine think tanks where they think about more than tanks. Okay? I'm really going to stretch your imagination now. Are you ready? Imagine government of the people, by the people, for the people, where the government does our bidding, not the bidding of the highest bidder. Okay, now I'm going to stretch even further. Ready? Ready? Imagine going to the voting booth and voting for the greater of two goods. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Swami, you are proposing a sane world. You must be crazy. Now listen, there's no need to change the world, okay? I have a better idea. Let's toilet train the world and we'll never have to change it again. See, we are involved, we are in a period of great evolution right now. That's why all of the things that seem to be falling apart, there's something else that is falling together. Yes? It's true. Just like the caterpillar becomes the butterfly. The caterpillar, which is a very successful organism, a good consumer, crawls on the ground, gets very fat. At some point, the caterpillar stops working. Just like many of the institutions of our society seem to be doing the exact opposite of what they're supposed to be doing. Did you know that? I mean, the healthcare system, it's unhealthy and uncaring. Despite the fact that so many people in that system have the best of intentions. And why is that? Well, it's because everything has become monetized. It's all about money. So we have drug companies inventing diseases so that they can sell drugs. Restless leg syndrome. You know what they did in the old days? They got a helper humping dog. You know, you get to employ the unemployed dogs. It's just really very, very symbiotic. And the educational system, I'm sorry to say. I had somebody ask me recently, because again, there are many forces in our culture that are kind of harmful. And this woman said, Swami, I am concerned that my child is going to become sexually active too young. Do you think that sex education in the schools will help? I said, absolutely. Because if schools teach sex the way they teach everything else, the kids will lose interest. So we see the caterpillar falling apart, speaking here's a story that tells the whole economic system story like that. Okay. There was a swami, a rabbi, and a hedge fund manager. In a story, you can do this. They're traveling through the Midwest. They need to stop for the night, and they stop at a farmhouse. And the farmer says, I only have two beds. One of you will have to sleep in the barn. Well, the swami says, I am a humble man of God. And off he goes, sleep in the barn. But 5 minutes later, there's a knock on the door. It's the swami. He says, well, there's a cow in the barn, and cows are sacred, but I cannot sleep near one. Rabbi says, I have no issue with cows, and off he goes. 5 minutes later, a knock on the door. It's the rabbi. He said, hey, there's a pig. Pigs are not kosher. I can't sleep near a pig. Well, at this point, the hedge fund manager says, we need to get some sleep. I have no issue with any animal whatsoever. Off he goes. And 5 minutes later, there's a knock on the door. It's a pig and a cow. So the point that I was making is that we have these institutions, we call them institutionalized insanity, that are falling apart like the caterpillar. And there are these new cells called imaginal cells, like imagination, that's what they're called, that are springing up, that are receiving a new signal, a new evolutionary signal. And these are the cells of the new butterfly organism. So what is the signal? If we want to evolve, where's our role model? Well, it turns out we have a role model in the 50 trillion cells underneath our skin. This is a society that works. We have full employment, universal health care, no cell left behind. And the organs cooperate with one another. Yeah? You never read about the liver invading the pancreas, demanding the islets of Langerhans. That doesn't happen. So if we were as smart as ourselves, we would recognize that we are all part of a greater organism called humanity, that we are all in this together, and that by gathering around the virtues and values that we have in common, we can isolate the sociopathogens and create a healthy society from the inside out, from the center out. Yes? Now, you know, we have all of this concern about homeland security. If we had heartland security, we wouldn't need homeland security. Because our true security is in the land of the heart. In the head, we have beliefs that keep us separate. And what people believe me, is unbelievable. Right? So we need to leave the static of the head for the ecstatic of the heart. The more we expand our heart, the less we're going to need to shrink our heads. Yes? Now, we are involved in an experiment, an evolutionary experiment. Are we going to make it or not? Well, I've asked that question. And many years ago, I think I heard the perfect answer. Because, again, I don't make predictions. Okay? Because I don't want to jeopardize my nonprofit status. And besides, you probably don't know this, but there was a law recently passed in California that allows people to sue their psychics. Did you know that? Well, here's how it works. If you're a sucker for a seer, and what the seer sees sucks, you can redress your grievance in a seer sucker suit. Should be pretty straightforward, right? And so we try to predict these things. We cannot predict. They try to predict the weather, right? One little butterfly fart and everything changes like that. Okay? But to me, the most powerful philosophy I have heard about predictions, it was a conversation I heard many, many years ago on the radio. And sports commentator, Howard Cosell, was interviewing Willie Mays, the great baseball player. And so I will channel this conversation for you. It went like this. We're talking with Willie Mays. Willie, let me ask you this. Are the Giants going to win the pennant this year, Willie Mays? And Willie Mays said, I don't know, Howard. That's what we're going to play the season to find out. So that is our job. We have to take the field. Because as quantum physics is telling us, the field is what governs all of the particles, like a magnetic field. It's a field of beliefs, it's a field of feelings, it's a field of perceptions. And so as we change our attitude, the world around us will change. And maybe instead of going toward Judgment Day and Armageddon, we can head for non-Judgment Day and dis-Armageddon. Yeah? Non-Judgment Day, that is when everybody wins beauty contests. On non-judgment day, all of the lawyers will disappear. No, our trials will be over. They can go play golf or something, you know. On non-judgment day, everyone will lay down their arms. Now, we're going to look pretty funny with our arms down on the ground and our butts sticking up in the air like this. But you know what? You can't attack anybody in this position, can you? Unless you overdid it on the bean dip and you know. No, gastral projection, a very powerful technique. They practice it everywhere. But here's my vision of non-judgment day. Ready? Imagine all of the nations at the United Nations beginning their sessions with the hokey pokey. The Israelis and the Palestinians, they put their whole selves in. That is commitment. They pull their whole selves out. That is detachment. They turn themselves around. That is transformation. And that's what it's all about. Now, I concede that this audience is very wise. And you realize, of course, that each of us already has all of the answers within. It's matching them with the corresponding questions. That is the challenge. And so if you have an answerable question for the Swami will have a questionable answer for you. Now, usually I just have people shout questions out, but this is obviously a more structured setting. And so we have two microphones set up to make people feel more self-conscious about asking a question. But don't be afraid to appear foolish. Look at me. Don't make me start reading minds, please. So I'm hoping that people will step to the mic and, okay, yes.
Yeah, you said that we should be here now, and I'm wondering why shouldn't I be somewhere else right now?
Well, you probably are. But that is neither here nor there, is it? Okay, yes.
Well, in her search for love, Ashley is going to choose between two men tonight on The Bachelorette. And I'm missing it because of your wonderful program. So I was wondering if you can say who Ashley is going to choose.
Say that again.
Ashley is The Bachelorette this season.
It's a Bachelor. Oh, The Bachelorette. Oh, I see.
Yeah, there's the opposite of Bachelor. She's The Bachelorette, and tonight she's going to choose between one of two guys. And I was wondering if you can let us know who she's going to choose since we are not going to be home.
Well,
it depends
on how she's been trained. I mean, she might just, based on all of her life experience, choose the wrong person. Or she could choose the right person, you see. But this is very interesting. We get so caught up in these dramas of other people. Recently, somebody asked me, Swami, to what do you attribute the success of American Idol? And I said, Idol Americans? So we have learned to project our lives out there and sadly to neglect our own unique gift. Each of us has been given a special gift just for entering. So you already may be a winner. Huh? And you know what? Each of us is totally unique, just like everybody else. And what is it with this competition? Why do we have to be only one winner and all of these other people losers? You know, because it's not the survival of the fittest anymore. That has really been disproved by science. It's the thrival of the fittingest. Those that fit with the environment are the ones who thrive. Yes.
I choose Tina.
What was that?
What's the question?
Well, that was good.
I chose Tina. So what's the question?
Oh, okay. Oh, you're doing that. Okay, well. Well, you know, I'll tell you something. This, the whole idea of the Zen koan, the idea where you have a puzzle that's so puzzling that it stops the mind completely. And that's what that was. It completely stopped my mind. Now, the value of having the mind stopped is because only in the space between two thoughts can enlightening strike. So I got struck by enlightening during a brainstorm just like that. So, okay, I will give you an unsolvable puzzle, okay? This is a question everybody can take home. If you think about this long enough, you could get enlightened. Okay, how many people remember that great football player, Refrigerator Perry? Okay, think about this. When Refrigerator Perry closes his mouth, does his inner light go out? And don't be afraid to say, I don't know. See, I don't know is a very powerful answer. These are times where we are facing the unknown. What better way to face the unknown than by not knowing? I don't know. I'm ready for the unknown. And, you know, that's why I so appreciate the Dalai Lama. Because he is so innocent. He's not afraid to say, I don't know. I was listening to him being interviewed by a very serious American Buddhist scholar. And for every other question, Dalai Lama's answer is, I don't know. I mean, that is really very powerful. Yes, try that at work tomorrow. You'll find out that you're not the Dalai Lama. That's what you'll find out. But you know what? I am holding this idea. This is my television. That someday in the very near future, the Dalai Lama will be able to return to his homeland and live in peace where he belongs. So I hope that people are holding that with me. And I want to be there when he gets off the plane to greet him and to be able to say to him, hello, Dolly. Yes, hello, Dolly. It's so good to have you back where you belong. Could happen. Could happen. Okay, yes, the patient
Mommy,
man. Yes.
About 40 years ago, I witnessed a performance of Biyanananda in Florida. Are you the same Biyanananda or a reincarnation?
Well, first of all, how many people believe in reincarnation? I'm just curious. Great to see you again. And again and again. Who does not believe in reincarnation, by the way? Okay, well, you will in your next life. Don't worry. No, actually, that might not have been me, but I am the only beyond Ananda. Maybe he was beyond Ananda. That could be. Maybe you're talking about the Swami from Miami.
Got it.
I am the yogi from Muskogee, so we're related. No, listen, I believe it or not, I grew up in a Methodist family in Oklahoma. Okay, actually, my father was Methodist and my mother was Catholic. So technically, I'm a rhythm Methodist. Oh, that was channeled, not my fault. No, but I would spontaneously go into these yoga poses, yes, as a child. By the time I was a Boy Scout, I could tie myself into 12 different knots. Okay, yes.
Swami, who's going to be the next president of the United States?
Oh, my God. We are wondering about this president, aren't we? I mean, who's going to be the president now, we're wondering. You know, 2 years ago, yes? People, perhaps many people in this room thought that we had political climate change. And we elected a new president, Barack Hussein Obama. And I think it was great that he was using his middle name so that finally the world would know America has a President Hussein. But the hopium has worn off, hasn't it? And you see, what we really need is not a new president. We need a new precedent. The new precedent, which is recognizing that we, the people, are the true sovereign of this country, just as the founders had declared. Yes? We don't need a revolution. We already had one. But we need an evolution. We call it an evolutionary upwising, where people wake up and wise up and recognize that nobody from above is going to come fix us. I was at a program recently. Somebody said, if you could say anything to President Obama, what would you say? And I had to think about this. I said, you know, for my humble self, I could not say anything. I would have to channel the late, great Ritchie Valens in order to speak to the president. And so, since the doors are locked, I will impose this upon you now. Are you ready?
Sure.
It goes like this. Obama, 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 Obama. I had a hope. Obama was his name. He won the race, but hasn't changed the game. 'Cause I love my world. Obama, where can you be? Where can you be? Now that you've won, I feel so alone. You bailed out the banks, but millions lost their home. 'Cause I love my world. Obama, where can you be? Where can you be? Oh, Obama, now that you're in, don't you know what to do? Just ask the ones who worked for you. Bum, 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 bum. I had a hope. Obama was his name. He won the race, but hasn't changed the game. 'Cause I love my world. Obama, where can you be? We need your chi. Obama, 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 Om. Now listen, I once again will be blunt with you. We need to forget these political parties. They've been partying on our dime. We have the red tribe Republicans, blue tribe Democrats arguing about whether it's worse to kill the born or the unborn. Meanwhile, plenty of born are dying and the bill is being sent to the not yet born. So we need to leave these safe positions of left and right and come front and center and face the music together. And turn the funk into function and leave the junk at the junction. Okay, yes. Thanks for being patient and standing up there and waiting. Yes.
A moment ago you said you were struck by lightning by a person who was questioning you, and it brought to my mind what happens when a golfer is struck by lightning. They always have trouble with their putts afterwards. Explain this.
Well, you know, it's funny. That happened. I actually, every year, now, personally, I every year I go to the Ascended Masters Golf Tournament. I have to admit, I find watching golf is boring. To me, watching golf is like listening to bowling on the radio. But the Ascended Masters is a great event. This year, Buddha got a wholeness and oneness. And they held it in the Himalayas, and in the Himalayas, the highest peaks of the Himalayas, there are these beings who are so evolved, they no longer need to eat food. Did you know about this? And they are able to exist on breath alone. How many people have heard of this? Yeah. Okay. Well, somebody up there in the Himalayas got the idea. He opened up the first breatharian restaurant. Now, they don't serve any food, but the atmosphere is terrific, yes? So I had to see for myself. I went to this place. I'm sitting there, and these three guys walked by with clothespins on their noses. They were fasting. Now, something you won't believe. Listen to this. One of them was so evolved that not only doesn't he eat food, he doesn't drink water either. His name is Pierre. more time release. I just reached somebody over there. Either that or it's a psychic laughing at the next joke. I don't know. Okay. More questions. I have several answers left. Okay.
I have a question.
Okay.
I noticed that at night I go to the Comedy Channel and watch The Daily Show and The Colbert Report in order to get a thorough analysis of the day's news that I can't get on the regular news channels. Now, I was wondering, what stage of civilization are we in that the comedians are the ones that are giving us the straight news?
Well, you know, you've made a very accurate observation. It's called the decline. That's the caterpillar falling apart, because the truth shall upset you free, right? And most people don't want to be upset by the truth. I actually heard somebody say this. Somebody was talking about a perpetration that our government had done. There was a lot of proof about it. And she said, well, it may be true, but I don't believe it. We call this Nazism, where people choose to not see what's right in front of them. And we have been so leveraged by fear. After 9/11, fear gnomes, little gnomes of gnawing fear, were released into the mainstream. It weakened the body politic, made us susceptible to mad cowboy disease, for one thing. No, that's where the body politic is put into a state of catalepsy and herded into the wilderness, yes. We haven't gotten over that one yet, apparently. And then, of course, we have the worst right now is deficit inattention disorder. You know about that? Yes. Not to mention truth decay and irony deficiency. No, really, the irony curtain came down, didn't it? You know, the invisible wall of impropaganda. Yes, that's why you can't believe anything. You know, the media has inundated us with so much toxic BS that our skeptic system is overflowed. Yes? Okay, yes.
Hi, Swami. Recently, my highs have been really high and my lows have been really low. What do you recommend for a nice, happy medium?
Ooh, a happy medium. Well, I've been a happy medium for many years. Although I noticed that, when I first started doing this, I was at my first trip to San Francisco. I was invited to a psychic fair, which was canceled due to unforeseen circumstances. I've noticed over the intervening years that this personal growth movement has expanded so much that all of the mediums are now largest. But if you're looking for a way to balance your equanimity, it's very, very simple. You know, we are so verbal, we are so intellectual, we spend so much time in our heads that thought particles tend to get caught between the ears. And that is largely a cause of truth decay. So to balance things out, I recommend twice a day mental floss. 4 out of 5 transcendentists recommend it, okay? Just release all of that stuff. You know, the average child laughs 150 times a day. Their daily life is rich in psyllium. They're not afraid to be silly. We tend to, you know, we say, well, humor, who could take that seriously, right? There was a scientific experiment done. They took a group of college students, put them in a room with hilarious comedy videos, took another group, put them in a different room, made the other group memorize Croatian parables, and gave them an electric shock every time they made a mistake. And the results were conclusive. The ones watching the comedy had more fun. So that is the power. If you want to have your highs high, if you don't want the highs high and the lows low, you want to be right here in the middle, then you want to bring in the laugh force. the laugh force and create a farce field that will create what we call levitational pull, that pulls the corners of your mouth up like that. That is levitational pull. Now, I don't know if you know this, but actually smiling changes your body chemistry and makes your body think you're happy. This is true. So we don't smile because we're happy. We're happy because we smile. So the more we're able to do that, you know, people will say, how can I uplift humankind? Well, start by uplifting your face. So what that does is it changes the energy in your body. Now, in this consumer society, we're told that we need something outside ourselves to make us happy, right? And we are envious of other people who might be happier than we are. I think Freud would have called that happiness envy, right? Somebody's happiness might be bigger than mine, huh? Well, you have to actually generate happiness from the inside out, and it becomes contagious. People say, I'll have what they're having. Yes?
Yes, Swamiji. When I do my morning meditations, I try to think of divine love entering the Hridaya Akasya, you know, the infinite space in the heart that the essence of the universe is in. But as I think of this, I keep getting these images of Jessica Alba in red short pants and a black tank top. Now, I know the masters say that there is a big difference between gross thinking and subtle thinking, but if you're telling us that we should think of what makes us happy, why don't I just meditate on what makes me happy? Is that cool?
Well, that sounds cool to me. I mean, I have no judgments about that since non-judgment day came. No, I think that this is really good. You know, we tend to want to restrict ourselves. Now, of course, you know, you're asking the Swami about this. I was celibate for 14 years. But when I turned 15, I said, enough of that. If I am going to have a mystical experience, I need to find a mist to tickle, yes? So this is the thing, you know, back in the old days, there was all of this idea that spirituality had to only occur from the neck up and didn't even include the heart. Yes, but this is a whole body experience. You know, I don't know if you're aware of this, but there are people, there are disembodied entities that are standing in long lines waiting to get into bodies. Because blonde or brunette, people in bodies have more fun. Okay? So while you're in the body, enjoy the in-body experience of laughter, joy, and so on, and then you won't make other people miserable. Okay, who else? Any more questions? Okay, one more.
Swami, I'd like to know, when are we going to have a balanced budget in this country? Could you please tell me?
Well, you know, I think that is a very, very interesting question because we have, of course, we have the Federal Reserve, don't we, which is not federal. About as federal as Federal Express. And the thing is that when money is issued as debt continually, it can never be repaid. This is our expression of the infinite, yes? We are trying to bring the infinite to Earth and we have it as debt. So we need to do a couple of things. First of all, I like the idea of the Jubilee. You know about the Jubilee? Back in the old biblical days, every, 50 years, they'd wipe the slate clean, no more debt. And all of a sudden, our near-death experience disappears. We can be born again as not owing money, yes? And so I think what we have to do is simply issue money as infrastructure that is debt-free and use that money to pay off all of the debts. There are people who've proposed that. But again, as long as people are making money on the whole debt issue, We are going to be suffering through that, but people are waking up. Yes?
No?
They're still sleeping. No, listen, I know people. There is an uprising. I go all over the country, and people are waking up left and right. Both sides are waking up. And what's really exciting is when the people come together. I'm working with somebody up in Seattle who is bringing together people from both sides, libertarian conservatives, progressive greens, who are trading ideas and learning from one another. And that is the holistic system that certainly beats the asaholistic system we have now. Yes.
Swami, how can we pay our national karmic debt?
Ah, national karmic debt. Well, you know, that's really very interesting. You know, this is really the consequences of our actions. Now, there is something that's bigger than karma, and that is forgiveness. Okay? But first, to be forgiven for something, we have to admit it. Yes? The price of release is admission. In order to know that something has to be made right, we have to say that there's something wrong. Yes? So I think that, first of all, human beings have been perpetrating things for many, many years. I mean, we've been perpetrating on one another. And what we actually, when we really think about it, there's really just a small percentage of sociopathogens who manipulate the rest of us through divide and conquer to do their bidding, and we have these opposing tribes, and we cannot get together around the center core beliefs. So the most important thing that we can do is gather around that space of the heart across political lines and focus on that which we all have in common. And then that way we get to isolate these forces that have been manipulating us. Yes? And that's what keeps creating this negative karma. And, you know, we have red tribe and blue tribe. We need to come together as one purple people. When we stand as one purple people, the peeps will outnumber the perps. Okay, do you have time for another question? Okay, one more? Okay, another question? Or I'll just give my answer. Yeah, I don't care. You can match it to a question if you like. Something that somebody wants to know, and when they leave today, they go, I should have asked the Swami. Okay. Well, then maybe what I'll do is I'll channel another song. Okay. Would you like me to channel another song? Okay. Yeah, I only channel dead people, so, you know. Okay. Okay, this one is from the late, great Sam Cooke. A message for everybody. It goes like this. Don't know much about astrology. Can't figure out numerology. Don't know Eastern philosophy. Ain't read the Celestine prophecy. But I do know that we are one. And if we all join in the fun, what a wonderful world this would be. Now I don't claim to be enlightened. I'm not trying to be. But maybe we can enlighten our burdens with a dose of levity. Don't know much about Deepak Chopra. Think I saw him once on Oprah. I don't channel any entities with ancient gossip from the Pleiades. But I do know that we are one. And if we all join in the fun, what a wonderful world this would be. What a wonderful world this would be. Thank you. Thank you. Namaste. And namasgo. Thank you. Thank you. I'll be here in the can I ask one more question? How many people believe in the hereafter? Okay, well, I'll be hereafter signing books. If I become very famous, you'll have a famous autograph, and if not, you'll have a rare book. Thank you, and may the farce be with you. Thank you.
Thanks once again to Swami Biyandananda, Steve Barman, for that great talk. We also thank our audience here in the club for laughing, as well as those listening on the radio or online. We'll have to laugh alone. And now this meeting, one last thing I'd like to say. I know this, as I said, is the first event of our whole month on India. And we have these programs, which we'll have out in front for everybody to pick up, which lists everything this month which has to do with our topics of India. I'm not guaranteeing that you'll get 150 laughs in 1 hour, as children do, but there's a lot of really good information and a lot of really interesting topics to choose from. So now, this meeting of the Commonwealth Club of California in its 108th year of enlightened discussion is done.